Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful morning. Getting to praise your name, to gather together with our fellow believers, and to edify one another, and to sing, to read scripture together, to shake hands, and to just be next to one another, and just knowing that we're not alone, and that you are faithful to us. You are the King of Kings, and you are a firm foundation. We ask that you bless Pastor Cal as he brings us the preaching and teaching of God's Word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen. Good morning. Good morning. It is a good morning, amen? I thought so. Anytime you can get up out of bed and go forward, ha-ha, especially at my stage of the game, it's a good morning. I wanted to say a word about yesterday, if we've got a couple of minutes. I was not able to be here for MoCo Day. I had, back in March, scheduled a prayer conference with a pastor friend of mine down in Savannah, Tennessee. And man, that was Holy Ghost. It was Holy Ghost yesterday down in Savannah, Tennessee. But on my way home, my phone started blowing up with pictures, testimonies, emails, text, all kinds of things, comments, posts on Facebook about yesterday. Second Mile loves MoCo. And you all did a fantastic job yesterday ministering to the good people in Clarksville. And the thought occurred to me as I was coming home yesterday to just let you all do a little preaching. To let you all give testimony about yesterday. I don't know how many folks we had, probably close to 100 of our people out in the community, and I heard some great testimonies about our children praying over people. And did you hear what I just said? We adults could take a little lesson from that. And wherever we were, I think it was 13 teams that were all over the county doing, just loving on people. And folks, they cannot explain that. People who are outside of Christ, you can't explain why we were out doing what we do other than Jesus. And so I thank you all for what you did yesterday, but God's laid a sermon on my heart several weeks ago, and he just wouldn't release. Maybe we can do that some next week, next Sunday. I don't know, but I just try to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as best I can. And these are unbelievable days that our country's in. Unbelievable days. And you know what? I am sick and tired of hearing from every candidate that's running, if you don't vote for me, it's hopeless. I don't care what party you're in. I don't care who you support. They'll all tell you, if you vote for so-and-so, you're going to find yourself hopeless. Can I just tell you, we are not hopeless because our trust and faith is in Him. And so I'm going to preach a message today that's really going to turn... It's going to be tough, some of the things I'm going to say may surprise some of you, but it's coming straight from the Word of God. So I normally don't preach off of notes. I don't bring notes, but y'all are in trouble. I've got 4-page manuscript here. So I wanted to just kind of read a lot of this because I've done a tremendous amount of studying, and I want you all to hear what the Word of God says. And so, and by the way, There's a typo at the very top. I need to start getting somebody to read my stuff, you know. But it's not Proverbs 14, 24. It's Proverbs 34, and that's my fault. Turn to your Bible in Proverbs 14, verse 34. And when you find that, let's honor God's word one more time by standing. Proverbs 14, 34. If you want to cheat, Ellen's got it up on the screen for you. All right. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you, y'all, there's something about bringing a Bible and finding the scripture and getting the word of God in front of you. There's something about that. I can't put my finger on it. I was in a prayer conference yesterday with over 50 people, and everybody in there had a Bible. And when I said turn, I heard all these pages going. I thought, hallelujah, I'm in the choir here, amen? So Proverbs 14, 34, listen to this. Righteousness exalts a nation. Let me say that again, righteousness. And we're not talking about our righteousness. We're talking about Christ's righteousness. His righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, while this is a topical message, I pray, God, that you might use it for our good and your glory. I know in my heart, God, this is what I was supposed to speak on this morning. And so I pray you'd give me grace. I pray, God, you would usher in your love and your patience with us. But most of all, God, that we would hear from heaven. I pray, God, that every word that I say would be out of love, and every word that I say would be truthful. It comes straight from your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. All God's children said,
amen.
Please be seated. Many centuries ago, God's people were living in a foreign land, and they were in exile, and they were surrounded by pagan politicians. They were surrounded by pagan people. And their pagan practices in that part of the world did not reflect godly values and beliefs. And they were forced to live in a place of what I would call moral confusion, where they were beset by every kind of temptation. They cried out to God, how should we then live? That comes straight out of Ezekiel 33:10. How should we then live? And I believe today there are a lot of American Christians that feel the same way. And we're asking that same question. How should we live in a time like this? We live in a time of moral confusion. We're calling evil good and good evil. Y'all with me so far? Don't check out on me. We're going somewhere. And true morality is often called old-fashioned. The enduring values that so many of us were raised with are now openly mocked. We're told to tolerate everything. Everything that is except traditional Christian values. And in this moment, there's only one place to turn for wisdom and inspiration. And guess where that is? The Word of God. That's right. And when we're tempted to lose our way, the Bible is our compass. Hallelujah. And it can be trusted and guide us in the right direction. And so having said all of that, the Bible declares that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we're talking not about our righteousness, of course, but the righteousness of our great God. Therefore, our greatest hope, listen to this, I went and voted this week. I saw this line. I mean, it was coming out of the front door, and it went all the way, I mean, way back here. And I thought, I don't have time for this. And I was fixing to go back to the truck, and this little lady said, oh, Pastor. And I'm like, oh. I mean, what is it about pastors? Do we just look weird or something? I don't know. But anyway, she said, Pastor, they're coming out of the voting booth about as fast as we're going in. It won't take near as long as you think. And bless God, I got out of there in 20 minutes. And so what I want to say, though, is our hope is not in some new president. Hear me. Our hope is not in some new politician. Our hope's not in some new program or some new policy. Our hope, and I've said it already and I'm going to say it again, our hope is in Jesus. He is our hope. Don't you believe this mess you hear out there on the media that we're hopeless and that we're on the way. Uh-uh. We've got all the hope that there is because our hope is in something concrete. Our hope is in a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. Now, that's enough preaching right there for the whole morning, but He is our only hope for this nation. And by the way, this world. Well, next week is election week, and we're going to the polls to elect a new president. But listen to this. Listen to this. This is amazing. 11 states are going to be electing governors. 10 states will be electing a new attorney general. And that's an important office. 40 states will have measures on their ballots offering voters choices on policy, laws, and amendments for their state constitutions, which will affect policy on marriage, sanctity of human life, border security, education, family and parental rights, freedom of religion, drug legalization, and a host of other issues. So I'm not, can I just say to you, I'm not here to tell y'all who to vote for. You can figure that out. I'm not here to tell y'all who to vote for this morning. But I am here to tell you that voting is a very serious responsibility and should be done thoughtfully and prayerfully. And we need to vote for the platforms and the policies that most closely line up with biblical morals and scriptural values that are so near and dear to our hearts. And can I just say that we are not voting on personalities. Amen. We're not voting for personalities. And by the way, y'all have figured this out. The personalities in all these political races, they've all got flaws. Shock, right? Well, so do we. There is no perfect politician. And there is no perfect president. There is no perfect whatever you're looking at. But I've even had church members tell me, this is the gospel truth. Well, I don't know exactly who I'm going to vote for, but I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. How many of y'all have heard that? Yeah. I've had some of our church members tell me, I'm not even going to go vote. I've had folks tell me, well, I don't know. I just don't have any peace about who to vote for, so I'm going to write in a candidate. You know? And so here's what I think we need to do with all of that. Are y'all ready for this? I think we need to go to the voting booths. And before we get there, we need to study the platforms, the policies, and the principles of all these candidates. Now, y'all know a principle will outlive a party, outperform a person, and outlast a policy. That will preach right there. Let me read it again. We need to look at the platforms and the policies and the principles of these candidates. And a principle will always outlive a party, outperform a person, and outlast a policy. So we need to look at their principles in their lives, what they've laid down. We need to take a look at their voting records and spend time asking the Lord who to vote for. By the way, ultimately, we all individually will answer to the Lord of how we voted. This is a serious responsibility. And so for the sake of brevity, we're not going to be able to address all the main issues, but we're going to attempt to cover five really big ones. Okay? Y'all with me? Have you checked out already? All right. Some of you are going to throw your high heels at me or your books or your shoes or something before we all get over with, because this is unbelievable. So here's the first one that you really need to study. Here's the first big hot topic issue that you need to have an understanding of whoever it is that you're voting for, where they stand on this issue, the sanctity of human life. Amen. The sanctity of human life. Look at Psalm 139 in verse 13. Y'all, look means to go find it. Psalm 139 and verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor and say, you look fearful and yet you're wonderful. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Now listen to this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest places of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Have mercy. When you start this issue of sanctity of life has affected all of us in some form or fashion, but biology, theology, and logic all unite to help us form this morning a more holistic purpose or perspective of choosing life for the born and the unborn. From the time of conception, what science calls an embryo, God calls a human being. From the moment of conception, that baby begins to grow, and 9 months later, a human being is produced, not an animal and not a vegetable. That baby possesses its own body, its own blood type, its own sex, its own DNA, and own genetic material. And the mother does have rights, but so does that little baby. And the baby can't speak for itself. And so I started really mulling this over in my mind, because ladies do have rights. But listen to this. We need to be consistent with what we say we believe. If a woman has the right... to do whatever she wants with her body, why is prostitution illegal? Think about that. Why is it illegal for a woman to use cocaine? I guess that's still illegal, right? We need to be consistent and protect the rights of the unborn. Now, if the life of the mother is in jeopardy, I believe that's a different issue. I mean, if my wife, we faced this in my family. My wife was 45, I was 49. And God gave us a baby. And we had doctors and we had all kinds of folks telling us, you know what all happens when a lady your wife's age of 45, do you know what potentially could happen? And we started hearing all this negative stuff, you know. I don't know if y'all have met Isaac James, but he's pretty special. And we told those doctors and everything, hey, look, it doesn't matter. We're going to have this baby because God gave him to us. So the life of the mother, now if Dinah's life had been in jeopardy, literally, I can pretty well tell you what I would have done. I wouldn't want to give her up. We're supposed to stay together until death separates us. Boy, it's getting quiet now. Now rape and incest are criminal acts and can be considered in this discussion that we're having this morning, but again, I'm just thinking out loud here. What if somebody in here today, what if you were the product of rape or incest? What side of this would you come down on? I'm just pointing that out. So is it logically sound to end an innocent life? Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 tells us that God formed us in our mother's womb and knew us before we were born and has a plan and purpose for everybody in this church house. Tell somebody God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. And aren't you thankful your mom didn't have you aborted? I know this is tough stuff. And so the sanctity of life needs to be strongly considered when going to the ballot box. Don't just take somebody's word for something. Look at their voting record and see how they voted. Here's the second hot topic. Whoo, boy, it's getting deeper. Biblical sexuality. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I said it earlier. I think I did. God's the one who makes the rules, not us. Hello? God's the one who makes the rules, not us. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, that's extramarital sex, nor homosexuals, that's same sex, nor sodomites, that's graphic, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to this. And such were some of you. Hallelujah! But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It seems like every generation struggles with some of these boundaries that God has set up. And we limit God on sexuality, but it's God who makes the rules, not us. And I guess the common denominator for same-sex attraction and being gay today is it's a genetic deal. People are born that way. And I'm not here to argue that point. You know why? Because we were all born wrong. We're all born as sinners, every single one of us. And we prove that we're sinners when we're old enough to make a choice, when we know something's wrong and we do it anyways. Well, the Bible calls that what? That's right. And so nobody gets a pass from God for living in a different direction than God's design, even if that desire goes back to birth. What if there was a gene for kleptomania? That's a big word for a thief. Okay, what if there was a gene for that? What if there was a gene for pedophilia? Would that excuse those behaviors? No. We're all responsible for our behavior. The problem of sin does not excuse the practice of sin. There's a difference between a person's condition and a person's conduct. Let me say that again. There's a difference between a person's condition and a person's conduct. If marriage can be redefined, what's wrong with polygamy? Can't you just see Billy Walker with 19 wives? I can't, and neither can that little girl sitting beside him. In these verses, Paul lists sexual immorality and homosexual behavior right along with theft, greed, slander, and drunkenness. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, this is going to upset some of you, but I have to admit, some of these other sins have caused me more problems in my ministry than the issues of same-sex and transgenderism and all that. What's our message to the sexually immoral? There's grace available. There's grace available. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will do what?" And He is the truth. Jesus will set us free from anything. He said He would. There's healing available. Now, Genesis 1, 27 and 28 covers all that needs to be said for same-sex marriage and this transgender issue that we're all dealing with. Let me read that to you. Again, who made the rules? Who's the one who made everything? Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. In the image of God, He created them. You're made in God's image. And He created them, male and female. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so the struggle with same-sex attraction and the anguish of transgenderism, I'm not going to laugh at that. That's real. It's real. Have you talked to anybody that has that persuasion? It's real. We have to come to an understanding that people really do struggle with these issues. It's not some "I'll just get over it" thing like the church. A lot of the folks at the church act like that. Many have committed suicide. Listen to this. Transgender suicide attempts are at 41%, while the rest of the community and the general population is 4.6%. when you're talking about suicide. It's a real deal. But we need to know one's genetic identity and makeup are a chromosomal reality, and people retain their birth sex regardless of feelings or any type of surgery. The sex God gives us in the womb is His will for us as we bear His image. The Scripture reveals God made us male and female, and we're to be fruitful and multiply if able. Biblical marriage and scriptural sexuality are a part of the political process in the voting booth today. Check their voting records out. Look at their principles, what they stand for. Do they believe in biblical sexuality? Where do they stand? And I want to tell you, this is an issue that divides the church today. Hello? But I want to tell you, He's the one who wrote the book. And He's the one who created us. And He's the one that laid out the commandments. And He is the one who created you in His image. You're created in the image of God. And He's the one that gave you your sexual identity. And by the way, can I just say this? You're not some cat. Unbelievable. My son-in-law is a high school principal in Waynesboro. And there's a couple of girls down there that wanted to identify as a cat. This happens, y'all. And so the parents came and talked to Ryan, my son-in-law. And anyways, they kind of got things straightened out. And so I called Ryan and I said, Ryan, where are you going to put the kitty litters? I thought he was going to come through the phone at me. But brothers and sisters, God will give you whatever you... And there are hundreds of great testimonies of people who have come out of those kinds of lifestyles. You don't have to stay that way. Jesus will give you what you need. So take a look at that when you go to the voting booth. And here's a big one. Border security. This is going to upset some of you, but it's okay. I'm only going to have two Big Macs for lunch because of that. Psalm 122:7, look at this. Psalm 122:7. Watch this. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. Wow. And then turn left in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 10. Man, this is a scripture that just, whoo, jumped all over me this week. Deuteronomy 10. We're all over the Bible this morning. This is, I know that. Deuteronomy 10, verses 18 and 19. My goodness, I got to hurry up. Deuteronomy 10, 18. He administers justice for the fatherless. Who is He? God does. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Watch this, Southern Baptist. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, here's what I want to say about all this. The Bible is chock full of references of taking care of orphans and widows and extending hospitality to strangers and foreigners. Our entire nation is made up of immigrants. Let me say that again. Our entire nation is made up of immigrants. So are you saying, Pastor Cal, that we need to let anybody and everybody that wants to come in here come on in? No, I'm saying we need a better vetting process. But there are people that are trying to get into our country because they love the American dream and they want to be successful in life. And we need to vet them. And so anybody that comes in here needs to commit to and surrendering to the American idea and way of life. We just need a better vetting process. And so there's got to be a better way in our country to do that. But on the other hand, if our borders are not secure, and I understand all this, violent crime, drug and sex trafficking, gang members, terrorist camps, sanctuary cities are filled with illegal immigrants. that's going to get worse and worse. And so we've got to find a way to bless those strangers and foreigners who want a better life in America, and yet at the same time secure our borders. Know what policies are in place of the political platform when it comes to border security that you're voting for. Some of you are not saying amen, you're saying oh me. Here's another big one, racial prejudice. Racial healing is one of the greatest needs in our country. It's nuts. Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28 says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Whoo! Billy Graham was once asked, what was the greatest problem in America? You know what his reply was? Racial prejudice. Can I ask y'all a question? Don't get mad at me. I'm just asking a question. Where's all the African Americans and the Hispanics and the Asians this morning? Take a look around. The 11 o'clock hour, which we start at 9 o'clock, is still the most prejudiced hour of the week. There's no black church. There's no white church. There's no Asian church, no Korean church. There's only God's church. We're all made in the image of God. We're all equal in the sight of God. We know that all human DNA, listen to this, all human DNA is 99.9% identical. You are my brother. You are my sister. We're all a part of the human race. And there's only one cure for racism. Do you know what it is? Love your neighbor as yourself. James 2 and verse 8 calls this the royal law. We need to respect one another in spite of our differences. And by the way, just because somebody votes differently than you doesn't mean you have to throw them under the bus. They're made in the image of God. And He's called us to love everyone. There's no discrimination at the foot of the cross. Love levels the ground. You know, even our Declaration of Independence, you know what it says? All men are created. Thank you. Racial prejudice is not somebody else's problem, it's our problem. And we've got to solve it. Know where the person stands that you're voting on this issue. And then here's the last one. Where do they stand with Israel? Now, there's about a dozen of these hot topics that I could have addressed, but time's sake, we're already out of time. You say, well, Pastor, why are you worried about time? Have y'all ever been back here? Don't start telling me about it. Just go ahead and preach, Brother Cal. Well, then you go to the nursery. Okay? Amen, Carol? All right? We can start having Sunday night church again. I'll keep preaching. Genesis 12 and verse 3. Check this out. Genesis 12 and verse 3. Now this is the Lord speaking. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The scripture is crystal clear. Any nation that does not support Israel will be a nation that's cursed of God. Can I ask you a question? Do you know any Philistines today? Y'all know any Hittites, Amalekites, Moabites? Where are they? They're no more. Because they were a curse to Israel. And so they had a curse on their nation. And let me tell you something. Now, Israel is secular right now. for the most part. Okay? I understand that. But the Lord still has a plan for His ancient people. And we're to pray. Psalm 122:6 says we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and support them as a friend and ally. And today, I'm amazed at what's going on all across our country. Anti-Semitism is alive and well. It is. Who do you think's behind that? If he can wipe out the Jews, Satan wins. Because then all those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are null and void. And so who do you think's behind all this anti-Israel mess? Today, Israel is surrounded by 22 Muslim nations who would like to see them wiped off the face of the globe. Iran, as you saw last week, was attacking with missiles. Hezbollah is attacking in the northern section of the Golan Heights. You know what Hamas has done and is doing in Gaza. There are some other things that happened yesterday. ISIS and Al-Qaeda are still around, along with other terrorist groups. We had better support Israel if we know what's good for us. When our government backs off in support of Israel, our days are numbered. That's what the Word of God says. That's not what Cal Hampton said. That's what God said. We had better support Israel. And so when you go to the ballot box this way, how many of y'all have already voted? Wow. I wish y'all would. So y'all have been a product of early voting? I wish you'd be early to church. I'm in trouble. There's no way. So when you go to the ballot box, you need to know where the party that you're voting for stands on this issue. And there's so much more, y'all, we could talk about today. And by the way, both parties have walked away from us. They're not, the Republican Party's not what they used to be. The Democratic Party's not what they used to be. I'm conservative. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. And I'm not going to let some elephant or some donkey tell me what to do. All right? There's a whole lot more we could talk. Have y'all heard about the Equality Act? Oh, my goodness. Y'all get out. You need to know about the Equality Act that they're trying to pass in Congress. That stifles religious freedom, family and parental rights, school choice and education. And you know what? I don't know what Second Mile Church is waiting on. It's time that we begin to pray. What are we waiting on? Another 9/11? We need to pray. And for, and Timothy, 1 Timothy tells us we're supposed to pray for our leaders. Even the ones who are in office. And I guarantee you there's some of you out here that are just like me. If I had spent as much time praying as I had criticizing, we'd have better leaders. So it's time we began to pray. How many of y'all pray for our local politicians, our city and county mayors, our city council, our county commission? How many of y'all pray for them? We need to pray for our state representatives. They're running for office this time, a lot of them. They're running for office. Pray for them. We need to pray for our governor, our senators. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our vice president. I told y'all some of y'all were going to get mad at me today. It's okay. It's all right. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. We're to pray for our leaders. And by the way, Romans 13, I didn't even get into this, Billy, but God ordains the leadership in government that we have. In other words, we get the kind of leaders we deserve. And God's not waiting on this nation to get right with Him. He's waiting on the church. And when the church starts being salt and light, then the culture gets changed and God's glorified. That's what needs to happen. Hallelujah. Some of y'all, I can't wait to get out of here. And here's another strong word. It's time that we repent of our national sin. Y'all, it's happened on our watch. Most of this mess has happened on our watch. And we need to turn to Christ as our only means of salvation. I have claimed a verse of Scripture over in the Old Testament for our city, our county, and our country. And it's Jeremiah 33:3. I call it God's telephone number. And that Scripture says, call unto me, and I will answer you. Is that not amazing? I can't talk to Joe Biden, but I can talk to the King of Kings. I can't talk to Bill Lee, but I can talk to the King of Kings. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about. I am claiming that verse for our city, our county, and our state, and our nation. He is the God who hears prayer, who honors prayer, and heals in prayer. And may we return to righteousness that exalts Christ. Well, it's time to do just that. It's time to pray. Would you just bow your head with me? And let's just seek the Lord's leadership here. Father, I didn't come here today to... You know, Father, you know my heart. And I don't ever want to be a man who tells people how to vote. But God, I do want to express the belief that I have in biblical values and biblical morals and ethics. The people of God are called to a higher standard. And so, God, as we begin this time of prayer here at this altar for our city. We all have children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews. I don't know what you want to do with this message today, but it is time that the people of God began to pray. And if there's 2 or 10 or 20 in here that need Jesus, oh God, I pray today would be the day of salvation. That we'd be able to, if you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Christ, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible simply says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin issue, if you're so sick of sin in your life and by faith you'll look to Jesus Christ as the one who died for your sin and rose again so that you might have life, if you'll look to Him and be saved by calling on His name, He will forgive you and He will send His Spirit to live and reside in your spirit. And you'll have the God of the ages in your life. But I think most of us got in here probably born again. I don't know that. Only you do. But Lord, forgive us for angry words, hateful practices. Because God, relationships are the most important thing we've got. Number one, our relationship with you, and number two, our relationship with others. And so forgive us, God, for allowing politics to divide us. Oh, I can't have fellowship with him or her because they don't vote like I do. That's ridiculous, Father. Help us to get past that mess. And love on people. We're all made in your image. And so, God, we want to pour our hearts out to you at this altar this morning for our country and our nation. And while I'm praying, you just get out of your seat and come. If you have a heart to pray, this is an old-fashioned altar, a great place to meet God. Just get up out of your seat and come and pray. Father, lead our people to pray. We talk a good game about, and we get all upset and our blood pressure gets upset about taking prayer out of schools when we don't even have prayer in our homes and in our church. Oh God, help us to be a people of prayer. In Jesus' sweet name, let's all stand. The altar's open. Y'all come. Just come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.